SBS Radio.
Yes, this is SBS Radio Hmong program, and here we have Professor Richard Day from the University of New South Wales, and he is specialized in clinical pharmacology, and he is the research leader recently creating an app called My Gout App. Can you take us through why you did this research? Thank you.
Thanks very much, and it's a pleasure to talk with you, Bixay, and everyone who's listening. So gout is a common problem, much commoner than people think, and it's underrated as a condition because it affects people's lives quite a lot, with a very painful arthritis that can come and go. It's more common in men, and there are rates of this condition up to 1 in 5 of elderly men over the age of 70, or 1 in 10 people presenting to general practitioners. So probably in Australia, there are 500,000 to 1 million people perhaps affected by gout, it's an important condition to do better with, because there's quite a lot of it around and we can do a lot better with it. But to give you an idea, when there's an attack, which commonly starts in the foot at the base of the big toe, most commonly, it's the toe feels incredibly painful. It's described as one of the most painful conditions you can have, like red-hot needles would be one description being pushed into someone. People often say they can't bear having a bed sheet even touching their foot when they're having an attack. Mm-hmm. So if this is happening repeatedly, then ultimately the joints can be damaged, and there can be damage to other parts of the body as well. So it's a condition we can actually do a lot about, but it's just really too common and there are too many people suffering who don't need to. So that's why we got into this area.
Mm-hmm. So what it actually means when we talk about gout?
Yes. So all of us have in our blood something called uric acid, and it's a natural part of us. It's really the breakdown product of when our cells turn over. When cells die, they release their DNA and RNA, which is in the center of the cell, in the nucleus, and that's metabolized or broken down. And the end result of that in humans is uric acid. So some people, some of us, don't get rid of that uric acid as well as the average person. So the concentrations of uric acid in the blood and also throughout the body are higher than the average. And the higher the uric acid is, the greater the risk of having gout. The reason that some people have high levels of uric acid, the most common reason is that their kidney, which is the main way we get rid of uric acid, is less able to get rid of it than the average person. It doesn't mean anything else is out of kilter in the kidney. The kidney works perfectly well generally, but just on this specific ability to get rid of the uric acid, it's less able to do so, less efficient, and therefore the concentrations of uric acid get to be too high in the blood, and then there's the risk of having these acute attacks. Oftentimes there's a family history, especially amongst the men. It does go along with uric acid. You can contribute to it a little bit by what you eat and what you drink. It's not the main cause. Mainly it's hereditary, genetic. But if you're eating a lot of seafood, prawns, lobsters, that type of seafood, crustacea, and if you're drinking a lot of, or drinking alcohol, it breaks down to uric acid as well. So there are some foods and drink that contribute, but usually it's a combination of the genetic problem and sometimes with the problem with what you eat and drink. But there are plenty of people around with gout who don't drink any alcohol and eat very sensibly, and there it's just genetic. So that's something that's very important for people to understand, because some people get embarrassed by the diagnosis, that thinking that people will think that they drink too much, for example. But that's not always the case at all.
Mm-hmm. Your research has also mentioned that it is pretty challenging to take the medication as well, even though that we know that we can prevent it or get treatment when someone was diagnosed. But people tend to shy away from GPs. So what would you like to say to people with gout?
Yes. So what is quite surprising about this condition is that despite it being quite common, and despite the fact that we can actually treat it so that these attacks don't occur, that is, we can prevent them occurring, that people still very commonly have gout. And now one of the problems is that we've learned a lot about this over the years, but doctors, in order to keep up with what's needed to help their patients with gout, it's a bit of a challenge. And secondly, the patients themselves, there's a bit to learn about gout, especially about what the treatment's doing and how you should take your treatment. So there's quite an important need for knowledge, education, to help people. And if you get that from the doctor, and the doctor is knowledgeable enough, and the patient knows enough, then it's very possible to get rid of this condition. Now, what it requires, if you're having attacks of gout, you can treat the acute attacks with things like Nurofen and anti-inflammatory drugs, but that's just a temporary treatment of the acute attack. If we want to prevent the attacks, we have to lower the uric acid in the blood, and we use most commonly by far a drug called allopurinol, which what that does is to stop the body making the uric acid. So the uric acid in the blood drops below a level where having attacks is very unlikely. So what we have to do is to have the patient start a drug, this drug, allopurinol, and commence it, and gradually increase the dose until we get the uric acid down to the level we know will prevent them in the future from getting attacks. That sounds pretty easy. But it does require people to commit to taking the medicine and not forgetting it. And that's a big problem for all of us. It's very hard to remember to take something every day so that it becomes a habit. So that's one of the great challenges. So that's probably the first challenge. The second is with the GP to help them understand that we should keep increasing the dose gradually, measuring the uric acid in the blood until we get to that right uric acid level, and that's the dose the person should continue to take going forward. And I say to my patients, once we've got to that point that they've got to do the same thing every day, that's what we want in this gout treatment. And people need a bit of help to do that. It's interesting, you know, it often goes along with heart problems, diabetes, other chronic conditions. And in all the chronic conditions, we just know that one of the big problems people have is to remember to or continue to take the treatment that's going to help prevent trouble down the line. But it turns out that if you look at how good people are at remembering to take their treatment for gout, it's probably the worst of all those conditions, actually. So there's a lot of work to do to get people understanding what's going on. But the prize at the end of the line is no more gout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very important. But at the same time, so we need to raise more awareness so people know and what should we do. But exercise, lifestyle, keep our weight in check, as well as stay hydrated and eat the foods that it is useful for our body. But some of the foods also cause the problem. So what should we do with all of this?
Yes, so look, they're good points, and really in a lot of ways, if you do have an attack of gout, it's often in middle age that you might have been building towards it for quite a few years, uric acid gradually increasing, often along with getting a bit overweight, cholesterol going up, maybe the blood pressure and so on. So it's an opportunity to take a look at those risk factors for things like heart attack and stroke as well. And then that means you take a look at what you're eating and drinking and your weight and your exercise, smoking and those things, very important. But when it comes to gout itself, you can avoid attacks. And people often know what brings it on personally. Although there's mainly a genetic problem, we just have to get the uric acid down in most people with allopurinol. Some people get a bit of like a flare if they overindulge, you know, in seafood and alcohol. But that's important if that's the case for an individual and they need to know about it. But probably the most important thing is once we've got that dose of allopurinol right, for the person, which takes a little while, just with checking the uric acid in the blood, we can measure easily. Once that's the case, then if someone just religiously takes the medicine every day, then their prospects for having gout again after they've settled into this are like very, very low. That is, in fact, unlikely to happen. So I've seen many patients who even had collections of this uric acid, like deposits that you can see on their hands around their joints or in their feet, all of those disappearing, the attacks going. So it's great to see, and it's actually one of the forms of arthritis we can actually, in a way, cure if as people understand and take the medicine. So there's a great possibility. There's a few things to learn. That's what the issue really is for doctors, patients to know more about this and in particular to learn about why it's important to take the medicine daily, which is pretty safe. We've been using it since the 1950s, and for most people it is safe. In extremely safe. So, but they're a small proportion. Actually, a bit more common in people with Asian heritage. So you have to be a little bit careful there. But broadly speaking, a safe approach.
Is there any specific reason why Australian with Asian background needs to be more careful?
Yes. There has been, very occasionally people would get a very bad skin reaction to the drug, and it turns out that that's more common in Han Chinese, but also in some other Asian, particularly Thai people, I think, and I'm not sure about Filipino people, but there is a little bit of an increased risk, and it's been related to genetics, and it's been related to a genetic marker, which is called an HLA marker, which we measure these days. We can measure, that's very helpful. But again, this is almost everyone doesn't have that problem, so it's a small problem. but it's worth raising and people knowing about it.
So your research study is still ongoing, is it? If anyone who experienced gout problem would like to participate in the research, what should they do or who should they contact?
Yes. Now, look, this would be very good. So what we've done is to try to capture a lot of the sorts of things I've been talking about, the educational side explanations, in an app that we've spent a lot of time with patients, doctors, pharmacists and others, but particularly patients, building an app that is easily downloadable. And we're testing that, and it's got information, it's got feedback, it's got videos that explain what's going on, and we want to test whether or not that makes a difference to people with gout. So it's a trial, and in order to participate, so we're not actually prescribing drugs or anything like that, we're just really having people download this app and getting some uric acid measurements done at the baseline and 6 months and in a year, answering some questions. But if people would like to help, and hopefully it'll help them as well, is mygoutapp.com. So if people look that up on the web, they can do a very brief check that they're eligible and sign on if they want. So that's mygoutapp.com. Or there's a hotline where we can talk to you, 1-800-931-544. That's 1-800-931-544. And we'd be very pleased to talk or and hopefully have you join us to help with this problem.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your time and your insight into gout research. Professor Richard Day.
Thank you very much, Bixay. SBS.com.au